Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast, the industry's first and longest-running podcast, now in our 20th year. I'm Roger Gross, the publisher of GGB, and this week we sit down with Alex Dixon, the president and CEO of Resorts World Las Vegas. When Resorts World Las Vegas opened in June 2020, it was celebrated as the latest luxury casino resort to open on the Las Vegas Strip. But maybe opening in the midst of the pandemic was a sign because the property failed to reach expectations from the start. And then when the federal government began investigating the property president and executives for financial misconduct, it just got worse. In late 2024, the owners of Resorts World, Malaysia's Genting Group, brought in former MGM Resorts CEO Jim Murren as chairman of the board along with an entirely new members. At the same time, announcing the hiring of former MGM executive Alex Dixon as president and CEO. Dixon's latest credit was turning around a small casino in Iowa, but saving Resorts World will take another level of skill. A Las Vegas native, Dixon sat down with me in February to talk about the plans he is having and how he's approaching his new position. Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast. My guest today is Alex Dixon, the CEO of Resorts World Las Vegas. Alex, it's great to catch up with you. And when I heard that you were appointed CEO here, I thought he's the perfect person to turn this place around. So congratulations.
No, thank you. It's a pleasure to be with you.
When we named you one of our 25 people to watch in 2022, we didn't think it would happen this quickly, but you've certainly become watchable at this point. So let's start with a little bit of your background. You're a longtime Vegas resident. Both your parents worked in the industry. How does it feel to return home?
Well, it's amazing to be able to come back. I pinch myself every day. And you know, as you know, I'm a third-generation casino employee. I've lived here in Las Vegas. Was born and raised here. And so my grandmother came out in the mid-50s to work in the industry. You know, she couldn't walk through the front door of a casino when she first got here, but had a long history of being a housekeeper. My dad was stationed here at Nellis Air Force Base, worked as a barback, then bartender, then became a parole and probation officer. But I grew up, you know, in the burbs of Vegas. Yeah. You know, we moved from the historic West Side and then have really flourished here in the community. And now there's four or five generations of us here in the area. So I couldn't be more excited to come back and to make an impact, not only within the community, but here at Resorts World Las Vegas.
Sure, no question about that. I want to talk about how that impacts your employees a little bit later, but let's start, let's talk about your experience in Iowa. I think you really made a huge impact there. And, you know, I know just you turned the casino around, but I think what you did to the community was really good at the Q Casino, which frankly, I'd never heard of till you,
no,
you
took over. No, I never either. And so just for those who may be unfamiliar, so I served as the CEO of Q Casino and Resort and the Dubuque Racing Association. So it is a 501c4 organization, so that has a nonprofit status. So we don't pay federal tax. But in Iowa, every casino has to be associated with a nonprofit entity.
Right.
That takes a percentage of those revenues and distributes them out into the community in the form of grants. And so we served as both that nonprofit entity as well as an operating entity. And so we were a co-licensee with Diamond Joe, which is owned by Boyd Corporation. But when I got there, we, you know, we were had about $700,000 in retained earnings, because for the most part, we give everything away. And 50% would go to charity, 50% would go directly into the city's coffers, which did very well for the community because we funded 10% of the city's budget, as you can imagine.
Yeah, that's pretty big.
But in order to run these businesses, we are a regulated utility is the best way to describe it. And we're a pay-as-you-go country club.
Okay.
And if you're a member of a country club who didn't reinvest in its clubhouse, you would begin to lose members. And so in our case, we needed to reinvest in ourselves. So we split those profits instead of two ways. We gave a third went to charity, a third went to the city, and then a third went to redevelopment. And so with that, we extended our lease. So we had a we could get a 30-year mortgage. And so we literally went on a development tear. And so by the time that the new hotel will be finished, we will have doubled the size of the company. And we took those retained earnings from $700,000 to less than 2 years up to $7
million. Wow.
We then reinvested that. And so now we're in the midst of $155 million of redevelopment activity that's taken place. A rooftop restaurant on top of a seven-story hotel. Redid our casino, introduced what's called Island Social. Think of it like a Dave & Buster's. We're bringing Pin Seekers. Think of it like a Topgolf. And then an outdoor amphitheater, all on land that is owned by the city, which used to be a landfill.
Right.
So very proud of that. But there's so many elements of running one company that operated a property, and then taking under leveraged, really real estate assets and bring them to the fore. And so, so much of that is what also we're going to do here at Resorts World Las Vegas.
No question. So I just got a press release yesterday saying the next phase of development is beginning in Iowa. So so they're still going strong, even though you're not with them anymore.
No, that's right. And so we had we developed systems in place so that nothing is, you know, like these buildings. These things operate because we have a great team in place. And so, you know, with the addition of our new board and here at Resorts World Las Vegas, including our chair, Jim Murin, in addition to the steady hand of Genting based in Malaysia, we're putting all the right elements to create systems here that are going to help propel us into the future for years to come. And so I couldn't be more excited to be a part of the team.
Okay. So here you are at Resorts World Las Vegas. And as you know, it sits on the site of the old legendary Stardust. So, you know, I'm sure with your history here, you remember what the Stardust meant to the city. What does it mean to you to be able to operate this and try to make this as important as Stardust was?
Well, it puts in perspective, you know, how our city has grown and grown up and the evolution. And that we're all running a race, you know. And so right now I have the fortunate opportunity to carry the baton of this physical site. But there's so many people who've been welcomed into the middle class by kind of coming in here, living out their American dream, whether it's working, whether it's coming here on vacation, or any type of engagement in business activities with all the conventions that we hold. And so I'm excited to, you know, to contribute and to help lead and to put our mark collectively, not only on this space, but it's just, it's simply amazing because we're reminded that we have 40 acres of undeveloped land here at Resorts World Las Vegas. And so, you know, I encourage people to bet on us, bet on Resorts World Las Vegas, because there's so much potential and so much rich history here.
Yeah, no question. So what was the first thing you did when you were appointed?
No, well, first is, you know, look, I got down on my knees and thanked the good Lord, because is, it's humbling. And I don't say that lightly, because this is nothing short of amazing. Nothing says that, you know, born and raised here and have moved around seven times. And three and a half years ago, when I was running a laundry company, did I think that I'd had the opportunity to come back? But I think, you know, you work hard, you surround yourself with good people, you get lucky, You get lucky, and so to that end, you know, that was the first thing. Really, the second thing is you know, it is study the financial documents to be able to assess. And so I tell people all the time is follow the money and look at them from the three different financial statements. That's from the income, cash flow, and the balance sheet. And you begin to get a perspective. And so, you know, that's, let's say, that from the technical piece, you know, then really start to ask questions and engage with people, engage with our leadership team, engage with the folks who own us in Genting, and develop those relationships and those one-to-one relationships. And now I'm still in the listening and gathering information in intel mode. But so much of this is really at our core, we operate a privileged license. Meaning this license to operate here is tantamount. And so there's a lot of reading, a lot of engaging, but it's very much listening and then getting to know that frontline team. And so spending time in the team member dining room, on the floor, shaking hands, kissing babies, doing all the things so that you people know that they can approach you. Because I don't have all the good ideas. I brought a lot of stuff from Iowa, but a magic wand is not one of them, and so we need help. We need people. We need our partners. We need our restaurateurs, our unions. Everyone is going to help play a part in this. And we're going to be conductors to get people heading in the right direction, to build momentum and conviction. But those are the kind of the first series in any new opportunity, whether it was, you know, I never ran a laundry company, and I ran one during COVID, you've got to, you know, be humble, listen, be coachable. And those are all the things I continue to do, even though I'm in the leadership position.
Okay, great. So you mentioned Jim Murren, again, with the combination of you and Jim. Jim had, the great experience of leading MGM for all those years, so mm-hmm. he knows Las Vegas like the back of his hand. How are you working with him so far?
You know, Jim and I really forged our relationship in the midst of COVID.
Yeah.
So Jim had left MGM, I was at, again, running a laundry pump company that had no laundry to clean.
Right.
So we had 30% unemployment within the state.
Right.
The governor had asked him mm-hmm. to say, hey, Nevada, although we've grown a lot, we're still a relatively small state on the global scale. And so I remember to this day, Jim gave me a call and said, hey, I'd like you to join the COVID-19 task force and then move forward. And so through that period of time when we were literally volunteers working together, that's how we developed our relationship, where Jim can open up doors on any continent, anywhere, at any time,
true.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And then where I really kind of cut my teeth with him is just helping to the day-to-day kind of operations to make sure things were running. And so it was a really match made in heaven. And so if you ever listen to the way that Jim talks about Kirk Kerkorian, mm-hmm. right? That's
right.
The way that I speak about him.
Okay.
Because he is... he's a mentor, mm-hmm. he's a friend, he's a competitor.
Right.
And so I get to see him both in the public, but then in private. Mm-hmm. And then I get to see him. We were on Sunday supposed to be hanging out, just watching the game.
Yeah.
We both 15 minutes, watching the background, and then we hop right into business.
Yeah,
you know?
Right.
And so we're both literally living here on property.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm inspired. I'm inspired to have a mentor who has done this job.
Yeah.
And even though I'm the CEO, what I'm excited about this opportunity is the chance to work and to grow and develop and be coached. And so more than anything else, that's just amazing about his impact. You know,
okay.
he serves on the board of Howard University, for instance, where I went to
okay.
college.
Right.
That's the type of person and human he is. And it means a lot to me to be able to work with him.
Okay, great. So let's get some of the negatives out of the way that,
sure.
that is certainly still surround this property. There have been some irregularities with the way players were handled, finances, mm-hmm. things of that nature. What have you done to ensure that that won't happen again?
Well, so much of that work started well before even I joined.
Right.
And so the team has done a phenomenal job at making sure that we make the corrective actions. But, you know, we take responsibility for the things that we need to control.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're actively working with the Gaming Control Board and others to make sure that we can turn the page. And so we're closely working through that. Once we get everything resolved, we'll be able to, more publicly talk about all of the comprehensive actions mm-hmm. that we've taken. As you can imagine, installing this new board that is local, as well as having new leadership in place, and we continue to take our privileged license as just that, a privileged
right.
license. And so we're grateful for the state, for our partners at the Gaming Control Board and the mm-hmm. commission, who've continued to be great partners that as we work through these elements. But we're excited about turning the page here into the future. And our team members, the 5,000, as well as the $4.5 billion invested from Genting, has done phenomenal things for our community,
mm-hmm.
As well as our economy. In the midst of COVID, when we were one of the largest construction projects going, we're grateful to be able to turn the page on this chapter and focus on the so many elements of this property and of this company that are doing amazing things, not only in our community, but as well as the broader Las Vegas landscape.
Okay. So I think undeniably this property got off to a slow start,
mm-hmm.
but obviously it opened during COVID,
mm-hmm.
which didn't help. But mm-hmm. did the fact that you didn't have much of a database affect that also?
Absolutely. I mean, I think you just think about Las Vegas history and
mm-hmm.
just think about the trajectory of even a property like the Cosmopolitan. Right. Of it took it a while for it
right.
to get to be what it is today.
Sure. Right.
And so any property that opens on a Las Vegas Strip that doesn't have a built-in database,
mm-hmm.
right, it's going to take time to ramp.
Sure.
And so we are going to work like the Dickens to activate this space, to develop partnerships, and to mature as an organization. But when you have patient capital like we do with, mm-hmm. with Genting Berhard, as well as just a great leadership team in place and the bones, I mean, we're here sitting in LA 66 overlooking the Las Vegas Strip. I mean, this rivals the best venue in Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. And so we have to tell our story. And so much of what we're doing here today, as well as what I've done over the last couple of weeks, is to make sure that we remind people that, hey, we have 3,500 hotel rooms. We have the best spa. We have the best gym. We have the best undeveloped land potential on Las Vegas Boulevard, meaning we have 3,500 rooms, but we could build up to 10,000.
Sure,
right?
Sure.
We have 40 acres of land with an underutilized parking garage, with a great generator as well as physical plant that has more capacity to build and grow. And so I think it's a little bit premature to be, you know, kind of ruling out Resorts World Las Vegas, because the best is yet to come.
Sure, sure. Well, let's talk about some of the great things you just mentioned there. Let's start with entertainment. I mean, that's been the hallmark of this property with all the great stars you have. You just announced a couple of new residencies. So obviously, you're going to keep that level of entertainment up.
And take it even to new heights.
Yeah.
Two words, Janet Jackson.
Right.
All right. Again, I'm dating myself, but I'm a fan and was able to be there at opening night. I think this is the best presentation of her hits and who she is.
Right.
And so we're thankful to our partners at AEG. You know, Carrie Underwood will be coming back. We just announced Tina Fey and Amy Poehler, who will be coming. We announced literally just 2 days ago a partnership with Mr. Beast, where we're gamifying his well over 300 million followers.
Right.
He's the largest influencer in the world, speaking to a different demographic.
Sure.
And then all of the performers and that we have at Zouk. So just this past weekend, we had Nelly, had the opportunity to be my childhood idol, Snoop Dogg, you know, and we had T-Pain, Illenium, who performs in there throughout the course of the year. And so it is just simply amazing, you know, the assets, not only what we have, but the activations that we do.
Sure.
And then I think more broadly is if you're living in Summerlin, you can come right down that Summerlin Parkway. And you can get to us before you get, you know, into the throes of the property. We have the best vegan restaurant, really, in America, Crossroads.
Yeah, let's talk about the F&B. That's another hallmark of the property here.
Yeah, no, I mean, you think about my good friend Sean Christie and Carver Steak is really the anchor, kind of down there. But Brezza, Fuhu, which is doing amazing. The Famous Eats, which is, you know, our version of this food hall.
Mm-hmm.
You can get foods from all over the world within there. We're sitting in LA. We've got a great partnership with Click. 8 Lounge, mm-hmm. which is the best cigar lounge, let's say, in Las Vegas.
Right.
You know, Mark Davis and Max Crosby are down there all the time.
Right.
But Nora Junior's, you know, great, my old stomping grounds from Brooklyn.
Sure. Right.
And so it's just we're very proud of all of the different food and beverage offerings. And we got more to come.
Yeah.
Jeremy Ford and Stubborn Seed will be opening here within the next month.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have a great hot pot concept that is Copper Sun that is just simply amazing. So there's so many stories to tell. And it's amazing. Once you get people to property, people are amazed, number one, by the size, but two, by the quality.
Yeah.
You know, the hotel product is second to none. And so I just can't wait to continue to shout from the rooftops about all our great assets.
Great. So you also have three different hotels on the property of the Hilton, the Crockfords, and the Conrad. What's the difference between them, and how do you mark that all together? Because they're all three different levels. How does that work?
That's right. It's one of our greatest assets. Mm-hmm. Because if you could imagine, as we grow our database, we have the ability inside the same building to be able to deploy marketing interventions at three different price points in order to be able to incent customers who want to come to stay.
Mm-hmm.
So you can imagine, look, everyone would love to have the super high-end business, and we're competing for that. Our Crockford's property is literally second to none.
Mm-hmm.
And we have beautiful villas, we have beautiful palaces, and we have a beautiful program as well as offering at our four-star level. We're shooting for 5-star. And so we're gonna get that, and we're gonna be able to compete on that high end. That Conrad, this is where we're going to really lean into in the coming months and years for that mass premium, whether it's slot or table games customer. We're going to activate our partnerships with Resorts World New York and Bimini and Catskills, as well as others throughout the industry who want to have a home on Las Vegas Boulevard.
Right.
And so you could imagine when we go out and send an offer, if we have the ability to have three different price points in which a customer could book a room, provides us the ability to talk to a broader swath of the American public and as well as international customers. And so if you are loyal to Hilton, we have something for you. If you're loyal and want to explore and step up into Conrad, we can get there. But if you're coming in and you want to open up, you know, several $1 million credit line and have a tremendous experience inside of our villas and our suites, we have that as well. And so that diversity of offerings, I think, is a competitive advantage. And so as we introduce the Resorts World brand to a broader swath of both locals as well as regional and national customers, I think we're going to find that as we deploy that asset, it's going to be a competitive advantage for us to incent gamers specifically to come here to Las Vegas.
Okay, great. I stayed at Croxford's in Sentosa in Singapore, and what a great hotel that was. I'm sure you have the same quality here.
We do. We do. And so I'm visiting, I'll be in Malaysia later next month just to engage with our partners to make sure that we are partnering together so that we can send business this way. And if people want to get exposed to the rest of the properties inside the Resorts World umbrella, that there's connectivity. And that's a big part of the overall business plan.
Absolutely. Great. So experts say you have the best spa on the Strip. We're saying a lot. There's some great spas on the Strip, but you have the best one according to some of the experts.
We do, because when you come here, particularly as people come as couples or there's a trailing spouse or there's, let's say, that leisure, business plus leisure traveler, there's a lot of opportunities for couples to be able to interact in a common area and common setting. And so it's funny, Sandra Douglas Morgan, president of the Raiders, she texted me like right before I started. She said, "Hey, I'm at the spa. You know, it's awesome, right?" And I mean, that's literally one of those assets. And so we're going to continue to invest to expand that offering. And so we're excited about the products that we have to differentiate. But yes, I remember there was a local property that had some really great day pass opportunities. But we've taken it to the whole nother level here at Awana, and I really encourage people to make that trip to be able to go check it out, because it is simply amazing. The services, the offerings, the team, the level of quality. But we then have, there's literally offerings that we do that no one else on the Strip is doing, and so I'm so excited about for that.
And you have incredible pool areas too. There's, again, different levels of pool areas.
Yeah, the infinity pool that overlooks the rest of the Strip.
Yeah.
Again, it's just simply amazing. And so for our guests who are staying, this is a differentiated offering. And so we've got different areas for people throughout the property where they can engage. I mean, some of these villas have their own private pool that is just simply breathtaking.
Yeah.
And so that diversity of offering, we think, is a competitive advantage. And so we're excited about it.
Yeah, no question. So let's talk about the meetings and conventions business. Obviously, this hotel was really built for that. You know, it's crucial to your success. You're close to the Las Vegas Convention Center. You have hundreds of thousands of square feet of meeting space on your own. Are you happy with the way it's been booked now, or are you looking to even increase that?
Yeah, we need more space.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that we need more space. I mean, even with our proximity to the convention center, it is one of the things that is a bright spot for our property. You know, with that connection with Hilton, it's a natural partnership. And so we benefit from that. We have a great sales leader, Jason Glasscock, and the team do a phenomenal job. We need more space. But what is amazing is that our connectivity to the Las Vegas Convention Visitors Authority, into the convention halls through the Vegas Loop. You know, we were the first stop on that boring tunnel. And so I had the chance to go over to the South Hall during the Vegas Chambers event that they held not too long ago. And this is something that we're going to continue continue to lean into, right, because as more locations get added to that Vegas loop,
right,
really here, us at the mothership are going to benefit from that traffic, right, activity. Because someone could be in the South Hall and be at Wally's for a power lunch,
right,
like literally within minutes. Mm-hmm. And so that is a competitive advantage of not only leading into technology, but as well as leading into this multimodal transportation. And so excited to see how that that business continues to flourish, because we are, just as you said, are centrally located. We're right across the street from the Wynn and Encore, and have an opportunity to really leverage that even further.
What kind of feedback have you been getting from your customers who have used the Boring system?
Oh, it's simply amazing, because for $5, you can go and travel back every day. Mm-hmm. And so you see the impact on our,
right,
our food and beverage business, on convention days, even when people aren't housed here.
Yeah.
Because that's what is helping us, is we're getting inbound traffic above and beyond, let's say, the people who are staying here, just because if you want access,
right,
to higher end F&B away from the convention floor, but you want to get back easily.
Yeah.
It's just that.
Yeah.
It's, we've removed the friction from that process. Mm-hmm. And you're driving a Tesla underneath the ground, right, and getting in and out in conditioned space is a competitive advantage.
Right. So you mentioned people who live in Summerlin. I mean, locals aren't really crucial to most strip property, but it certainly can enhance the bottom line. Do you have any plans to attract more locals?
Well, one, we need to promote the fact that we offer up to 3 hours parking free now, mm-hmm, today.
Yeah.
And so that's one to encourage. Number two is just that this F&B offering, where we're already finding a tremendous local following, is in our Crossroads vegan restaurant,
right,
because there is really no other fine dining vegan,
sure,
offering on the strip. And so what we want to do is to be able to make sure we kind of promote that.
Mm-hmm.
But then more broadly, we are going to have a comprehensive local strategy, because as neighborhoods inside of our catchment area begin to grow and, mm-hmm, develop, namely the Arts District and,
right,
Rancho Bel Air and places that are literally a 10-minute drive away,
sure, right,
we have the ability to speak to people in a locals gaming market in a way that we can do profitably, but as well as making sure we're authentically talking to the Las Vegas community,
mm-hmm,
whether that be nonprofits holding their events here, whether that be folks coming out and just enjoying our restaurants. But at the core, we're going to get folks who enjoy our gaming product,
yeah,
and we're going to speak to them in ways, through offers, through food and beverage offers, as well as just entertainment,
mm-hmm,
in a way that I don't think we've leaned into
yeah,
as well as we needed to. But being born and raised here, I hear it all the time. I got two parents who like to go play the slots, right?
Sure, right.
You know, they retired from the state of Nevada. They have great PERS pension, right, and there's a lot of folks that I think that we have the ability to speak to. And so I can't wait for the coming months for,
sure,
us to roll out a number of these programs.
Sure. Okay. So you mentioned the parking. It is a little confusing. It's not directly connected to the property. You have, mm-hmm, to walk outside from the self-parking anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Is there ways to make that more palatable to the locals? Market?
Well, there's two different parking garages. So you may have parked in one that is our overflow.
Right.
There's one that is, let's say, directly connected, where you're able to, once you get in that elevator, you're in conditioned,
right,
space from there. And then,
the hotel parking garage.
Yes, hotel, right, parking, right, garage. And so that there. And so much of it is just, it's like, going anywhere for the first time.
Right.
It is, sometimes you need to get orientated. But this, with an 85-acre complex,
right?
It's a lot of land. It's,
yeah,
a big place.
For sure.
And so we will continue to make sure that we work on signage, messaging, but leveraging the partnership. And so what we're already starting to see is when people want to come down and go to the Sphere,
mm-hmm,
right?
Right.
They're coming over here and using this as their base,
mm-hmm,
to pregame, to have restaurants,
right,
to go to the entertainment or meet up afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
And so we really want to leverage the relationships of this emerging north end of the strip to make sure that people know how they can use us as a home base in order to explore anything else, because the ingress egress off of our infrastructure in Sammy Davis Jr., as well as Las Vegas Boulevard. But the interchange is nothing short of amazing. And it's evolved over the last, you know, 3, 4, 5 years since I've been away. And so I'm really excited to now activate it and really leverage it.
Yeah, no question. Let's talk about gaming a little bit. Resorts World was the first property on the Las Vegas Strip to really embrace cashless gaming. Mm-hmm. It was a bit confusing in the beginning. Has that been smoothed out? Do your customers understand how to work with it now?
Yeah, I mean, I think the consistent theme here is that whenever you try something new,
right,
or whenever you open something new, mm-hmm, there's going to be a learning curve,
sure,
right? Whether that's the property as a whole, mm-hmm, whether that is the parking, or whether that is the technology. And so we are every time, because again, we're continuing to grow our database.
Right.
And so we are continuing to not only smooth out those technology challenges, but we're enhancing that journey.
Yeah.
And so from a core gaming perspective, one of the first actions I took when I started less than 2 weeks ago was we've got a role posted, or it actually just came down, for a chief gaming officer, mm-hmm, because we are going to go back to our core,
right,
of making sure that we have a coherent message, whether it's from the technology, marketing, staffing, mm-hmm, and overall efficiencies within our gaming space. And so we want to make sure that, you know, the best hosts in the business know that we're open for business.
Right. Yeah.
The best customers know that we want you here, mm-hmm, and we have a gaming product. And so whether it's on parking, technology, marketing, offers, hosting, we're going to continue to continuously improve in these areas. And so anyone who says they're perfect, right? They get comfortable.
Yeah.
And one thing I'm not is comfortable.
Right.
And so we are going to be the best that we can be today. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, we've gotten better. We've embraced cashless gaming. We're going to continue to lean into it. We're going to be at the forefront of leveraging artificial intelligence and computing power in order to make sure that we have the right segmentation to go after and activate our loyalty market. But this is something where Resorts World will continue to be a leader in this space. Mm-hmm. We have great relationships with vendors, and we'll continue to be an active member of the industry to make sure that this is a place where the best ideas will win. Mm-hmm. But at our core, we are going to have, in my words, a one throat to choke, mm-hmm, to help us bring all these things together so that we have a coherent message for our employees, as well as our customers, and the broader stakeholders out in the marketplace.
And I guess your trip to Malaysia will focus on some of the international customers, which of course, Genting is proud to host at their Malaysian property.
I'm so grateful for, just as a Nevadan, mm-hmm, for our leadership, and the chairman to make an investment, within Nevada,
right,
at a time when we needed it. And so, we plan to go, and Jim and I, as well as the board, which includes A.G. Burnett, Michelle DeTondo, and Kohan, we're going to be there together to make sure that we have a great representation of this new entity, and meet our counterparts, mm-hmm, in Sentosa. We're going to go to the Highlands. We're going to meet some customers. And so it's going to be a great trip so that we can continue to have these phenomenal relationships across these time zones.
Okay, great. Let's talk about the employees. Obviously, it's a great property and incredible, amenities. But as you and I know, employees can make or break the property. What have you said to them when you first arrived?
Well, first, I was so excited. We won the housekeeping Olympics that, mm-hmm, takes place here.
Right.
Right. And so, like Deion Sanders, right, I want to bring a championship home, you know. So we're going to go for a repeat of there. But no, in all seriousness, I've worked with so many of the folks here already. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
So whether it's Shannon McCollum, I used to clean her laundry when she was at Daria, right? Luis Orozco, who's our director of housekeeping, we work together next door at Circus, mm-hmm, right? We've got so many people, Concepcion Delgado. So she is a great leader within our housekeeping space. We work together. And then all the way down to the front line.
Yeah.
Folks who I opened up Springfield with, or Baltimore. And so this is such a small business,
right,
that it's amazing to be able to see and walk the floor with Jim. We got to budget an extra 10 minutes everywhere we go, because, you know, people have engaged and worked with him, mm-hmm, for forever.
Sure.
And so this is we have a great team. Like, it is the human capital that exists here is nothing short of amazing. And the team who opened this property on time, under budget, should be really proud. And now it's like a relay race. Yeah. I'm taking the baton, and it's my time to make sure that we're leading into the next round. But it's we've got a great team in place. Now we're I tell people we have great steak. Mm-hmm. Now we're adding a little sizzle.
Yeah, there you go. Right. You know? Right. Oh, one last question. You understand that Las Vegas has to work together. You know, all your competitors here on the Strip, they're competitors, but you all have to throw in together when the time comes. So what's your vision for the North Strip and then all of Las Vegas?
Well, really, it's collaboration. Mm-hmm. I think one of the things, it's interesting. So when I was in Iowa, I was the Vegas executive.
Right.
Right. Okay. And so people said, you know, when you had ideas, mm-hmm. it was affirmed by the success that Vegas has. It says, hey, they figured out how to do it. And I think last year's Super Bowl was a phenomenal example of, you know, everyone in Las Vegas benefited when we were the host community for the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. So I'll take a great example that's very timely. Jackson State and Grambling University are going to be playing at Allegiant Stadium on October 25th. Mm-hmm. We as a community can rally around this new event that's coming here. Right. To try to drive as many visitors, as many, whether it's gamers, as many hoteliers, to rally the local community, to help be a part to make this this successful.
Right.
And so this is an area where, whether it's the North End or just up and down, our partners with LVCVA, who made a tremendous $350,000 investment to bring this to our town. Now we need to rally to help the rising tide lift all boats. And so I'm going to be meeting with my counterparts at the other facilities here on the North End. And there's so many things, whether it's the music festivals that take place or just broadly on safety and security and programming that we can do things together. And so there's an open door and we're going to be engaged. I was just recently in touch with Tom Burns from the Governor's Office of Economic Development to help facilitate even mm-hmm. some of those conversations. And so we're grateful for the public-private partnerships to make this not only community safe, but make this end of the Strip more active with foot traffic. But, you know, anyone complaining about their location who's located directly across from Encore and Wynn, needs to focus on other stuff.
Yeah.
So we're focused on all the great things that we have, and we're going to be an active member to do our part in activating this area.
Great. Well, Alex, it's great to talk to you, and I'm looking forward to seeing how you're going to make this property what it should be. And it's not going to take long, because I think your energy and the energy you give to your employees is really going to take off.
No, bet on us, bet on Resorts World Las Vegas. It's really been a pleasure.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us on the GGB Podcast. To learn more about the topics discussed today and all the important issues in gaming, check out the Global Gaming Business Magazine. For a free virtual copy of the magazine, subscribe at ggbmagazine.com. To stay current with the daily news of the gaming industry, subscribe for free to the Global Gaming Monitor at igamingbusiness.com. Don't miss a single episode of the GGB Podcast. Subscribe on Amazon, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts today. So we'll see you next time on the GGB Podcast. We'll